Pleasure to be with you this morning. I've chosen to speak to you this morning. It's not on the board back there. My internet's out at the house. I'm having trouble with my computer. And so I have a lesson for last month, and I got out of it by the man from Midland being here. So I decided to go ahead and do that, even though it's off topic this morning. I think we find in our lives today that we're being attacked on all sides by those who would deny Christ and Christianity. We're being attacked from many different sources, and I want to attack back at one of those sources this morning. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, beginning in verse 12, it says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 50 cubits." And it goes on here to tell Noah exactly how to do this. I think we all remember, or most of us do anyway, the great Cecil B. DeMille movie that he put out called The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston playing Moses. You know, I've seen that movie many times over the years, and for the most part, found that it was pretty true and biblically correct. But I find that this is not the same kind of film that's coming out of Hollywood today. We've been bombarded in the last few years with a score of movies that, in my opinion, not only are biblically incorrect, but they're actually an attack on Christianity. I actually watched a thing on TV this morning that addressed this. I didn't catch all of it because just the end of it. I happened to flip it on as I was turning it on. And they were talking about that there's a flood account in nearly all civilizations across the world. And they were trying to relay this to some ancient aliens that dwelt here upon the earth. And a meteor shower that caused the poles to melt and suddenly flood the earth to destroy these ancient aliens that came here, rather than the account that we have in the Bible. You know, since I've been in a wheelchair and been confined to the house, I've had to watch lots and lots of movies. And I was stuck with Netflix for a while. And I like Netflix because you can stop it and go back. It's kind of like watching a DVD where you can rewind it and watch that part over again. And I found a movie on there. It was called Noah. And I really wanted this movie to be good. And I watched it, and the first thing that I had to do was reach over and grab my Bible and go, "Now wait a minute. I don't think that's the way that went." And you know, it hadn't been too many years ago that there was a movie that came out called The Passion of the Christ. And then there was a series called Left Behind. Well, I didn't even bother watching those. I mean, I'd heard up front that those off-the-wall type things, they were actually an attack on the Bible. And I didn't want anything to do with that. So I didn't watch those. But I wanted Noah to be good. You know, that's a story that we all know. And I think we need to be careful as our kids grow up. Being a school teacher, I learned a long time ago that some people learn by reading words off of a page. Some people learn by hearing something, and other people, they don't learn it unless they see it. You know, I even learned that singing songs was a way to teach kids history. The old song about the Battle of New Orleans, I used that in my history class to teach the kids about the War of 1812. And, you know, they would actually remember that after they sang that song a few times. Well, I think we have to be very careful about what we let our kids watch today. Because if we let our kids just go watch a movie like I saw Noah, and if I hadn't had the background in the Bible that I had to go, wait a minute, that's not right. There's lots and lots of things wrong there. And I want to call those to your attention today, just in case you've seen the movie, maybe your kids saw the movie, and maybe that imprinted on them some false information. Noah's director, Darren Aronofsky, was quoted as saying that this is the least biblical film that Hollywood's ever made. You know, I understand that Hollywood tried to get him to back off of this song. And he totally refused. Well, his movie is more in line with ancient Gnostic heresies than with the Bible. You know, evangelical Christians tried to get this stopped and weren't successful. But you know, on the bright side, I think this movie has caused a lot of controversy. And I've heard talk about people who are not well educated in the Bible. This was so far off that even they're going, wait a minute, that didn't happen. That's not the way I heard that story when I was a kid. And sure enough, it's caused a lot of conversation. And I think it was Kevin Fox, when he was here, that talked to us about our opportunities to talk to other people. And I'm seeing that more and more today. Maybe being down in a wheelchair has helped that, but I've had more Christian conversations with people in the last 3 months than I probably had my whole life. I've got kind of a captive audience as those people come to wait on me and dress my wound and do physical therapy with me and while I'm at dialysis. And I've actually been impressed with some of the people that I've dealt with. Now, I haven't converted anybody yet. There's not another person here in this building. But there are people that are thinking about things that's been said. I had a conversation Friday night with two women about the communion. And one of them was just way off over here. And the other one is a Church of Christ person that goes up to one of our other Church of Christ up the road here, but uses multiple cups. And during the conversation, the one that goes to the Church of Christ up the road here stopped the other lady and said, that's what it says. You know, he's right. It says they took the cup. So we're seeing conversations that are going on, and we need to just continue to do that, because there's a lot of people out there that have not delved into the Scriptures to see what it actually says. They just go by what they've always done. And we've got to be careful and teach our kids to go to the Bible and see what it says before they make a decision on how they're going to worship. Because there's too many people that are stuck in a rut out there. I don't know that I'll ever get the lady from the Church of Christ up here. She's gone to that one for a long time. And that's pretty well stuck in her psyche that's where she's supposed to be. That's where her dad went, so forth. But she is willing to look. Now, the other lady I was talking to, she just dismissed it as a bunch of hooey. She's not going to do that at all. But let's look at some of the differences that I find as I went through the movie Noah. First of all, they show Noah's father as being killed by a man called Tubla Khan. Well, that might have happened, might have not happened. The Bible has no account that Lamech was killed by someone. It says that he lived to be 595 years old. Well, that was 5 years before the flood. So, some point in time, he passed away. But you know, in the movie, it shows Lamech as being somebody about my age. And yet he's supposed to be at 595 years old when he dies. The only character in the movie that was portrayed as being old was Methuselah. And it showed Methuselah as some old man that lived up on the mountain like a wise old sage. And all the other characters appear to be between 50 and 60 years old, or they're younger than that. Secondly, it shows that Noah was distant from God. In Aronofsky's film, Noah, that's played by Russell Crowe, was portrayed as a tortured soul that senses what he's supposed to do through a dream that this mysterious creator, which in the movie is never called God, plans to destroy the world by flood. But you know, in Genesis chapter 6 through 8, much of the account, even in what I read you this morning, involves direct communication between God and Noah. Noah was God's close friend, and he understood him. In Genesis 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And in what I read you this morning, it says, God told Noah. It didn't say anything about him having a dream. Thirdly, in the movie, supposedly Noah goes up on the mountain to visit his grandfather Methuselah, who helps him to understand this global catastrophe that's coming. Genesis 6 says that God revealed this plan directly to Noah. But in Aronofsky's version, Methuselah serves Noah some sort of dark tea, or maybe it was coffee, some sort of drink anyway, and this caused him to dream and helped him to hear the Creator's voice. Well, I don't find anywhere in the Bible that anybody ever had to take some sort of hallucinogenic drug to hear from God. And certainly Noah never visited a shaman up on top of the mountain. Fourthly today, Noah's sons weren't without wives on the ark. In Aronofsky's fanciful version of this movie, only one of Noah's sons had a wife. And she ends up being pregnant with twin girls, and we assume that these will eventually become the wives of Noah's other two sons. But in the Genesis account, God tells Noah in Genesis 6 and 18, "You shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you." Then the movie, there's a great controversy between Noah's son Ham and Noah because Noah wouldn't let him bring this other girl that he wanted to marry on the ark to be his wife. She ends up getting left behind. Fifthly, there were no stowaways on the ark. And in the movie, Aronofsky adds this preposterous drama to Noah by having an evil warlord, this Tubla Khan, sneak on board the ark and hide in the shadows back there with some of the sleeping bears and goats. And then he attempts to kill Noah with the help of Noah's son, who's angry because he didn't arrange for him to have a wife. Sixthly, and this is the one that really brought people down, Noah did not get help from rock creatures to help build the ark. Now, in this movie, Aronofsky borrowed this weird concept from some of the ancient Jewish mystics who suggested that the angels of God that he cast out of heaven after creation were encased in rock and walked around helping human beings. In Noah, these giants, called watchers, chopped down the trees of this massive wood for the ark and defend him from an invading army who would try to destroy the ark before it gets it built. You know, all this is made with some great digital effects, but the Bible says that God cast these disobedient angels into hell in 2 Peter 2 and 4, not as rock creatures on the earth, and they certainly weren't sent to help mankind. Seventhly, the Bible does not say that Noah was some deranged killer, bent on stopping his family from reproducing. Now in the movie, Noah is portrayed as being this horrible father that intended only to save his family from the flood, but to have them die from that point on. And when Noah's daughter-in-law was pregnant and gave birth to twin girls, Noah was bent on killing them because he didn't want the family to reproduce. Well, this second half of Noah, to me, is the worst part. After the flood begins, the man God uses to save all the animals and all the humans from destruction decides God doesn't want the human race to survive at all. And he becomes a psychopath and threatens to kill his daughter-in-law's child when she gives birth. The biblical Noah would never have tried to prevent repopulation. Genesis 9 and 1 tells us that Noah understood that he and his family had been commissioned to replenish the earth. Number 8, the descendants of Noah did not treat the skin of a serpent as a family heirloom. Now, I almost missed this. I actually picked this up on the internet afterwards because I wasn't paying any attention to that at that time. But this gets downright creepy toward the end, when a character pulls out his snakeskin talisman and wraps it around his arm. The scene proves that Aronofsky based his film not so much on the biblical account of the flood, but on Gnostic writings. Centuries ago, some Jewish mystics taught that the God of Genesis was really a loser and that Satan was a better God. This subtle implication that Noah needed Satan's help and not God's is something that we've got to stand up against. At the end of the story of the flood in Genesis, Noah gathers his family around the altar for worship, and they enter into a covenant with God. But in the movie, just before the rainbow appears, it shows Noah wrapping a snakeskin around his arm and blessing his family with it. In a similar way, this film is wrapped in a serpent's skin. And that's why I'm going to be more cautious the next time that Hollywood Studio tries to put out a film and get Christians to buy tickets for it for their biblical blockbuster. Why did I teach on this morning? Not because most of us need it, because we know the story. These kids sitting here in this audience that may have seen that film, without somebody sat beside them with a Bible in their hand and say, wait a minute, that didn't happen that way. They need that story. They need to hear it from us day by day, what we have in the Bible. Now, as Christians today and members of the Church of Christ, we've got to stand fast. We've got to either believe every word that the Bible says and take it as fact, or we have to just throw it out the window. Because the world's out there telling us to throw it out the window. that there's something else, that it doesn't matter. Those are all just fables. I believe every word gets printed in there. And just like I told the ladies Friday night, when the Bible says he took the blue cup, I think that's what it meant. And this lady was going, well, where do you get from that I all drank out of the same cup? Well, how do you take one cup and do it some other way? Well, it didn't say they passed it around. Well, that only makes sense. Those people out there just want to argue about everything. They want to have their way and do it the way they want to. And they keep wanting to change things. That's where they're wrong. And that's where I'm afraid they're going to get in trouble. The lesson's yours this morning. If those here this morning who are subject to the gospel call, if you need to be baptized, we offer you that opportunity this day. And if you're here and you've once been baptized and you've strayed away, we offer unto you the prayers of the congregation. Won't you come while we're standing and singing?